are the times that try men's souls, wrote Thomas Paine in 1776. Indeed, they are. Those words could have been written, well, yesterday. The country faces challenges never before seen. Masks, lockdowns, a nation divided by ideology, and no obvious path forward. Welcome to 2021, where the struggle continues. We stand at the threshold of a new day, and it's anyone's guess what the future holds for housing, especially affordable housing. The affordable space is a business where real life intersects reality. No one knows this better than our guest, Jeff Spicer, Vice President and Project Partner of Dominion, the nation's fourth largest affordable housing provider, managing over 35,000 units across 21 states. Well into its fifth decade of operation, the multi-generational $4.6 billion company is headquartered in Plymouth, Minnesota. Jeff, on the other hand, originally from Madison, Wisconsin, now enjoys a far more temperate climate in Texas. It's there that he is helping to grow Dominion's footprint. Jeff has personally developed over 6,000 affordable units and still owns 1,000 of those. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Jeff, you're responsible for originating new project development. This includes financing and acquisitions across the great state of Texas. In fact, word has it, the Dominion has set its sights on becoming the top private developer, owner, and manager in affordable housing by 2025. There are a lot of unknowns out there right now. Do you still think this is feasible? And what is the future of affordable?
Well, we think the future of affordable is very bright. It's becoming the darling of the industry right now as far as acquisitions and new development. So we've seen capital that's pouring into the industry. And so we think the future, long-term future, is bright. Dominion itself, over the last 3 years, has been averaging more than 3,000 units of new construction each year and 5,000 total units of acquisition and new construction. So we have no plans to slow down, and we continue to grow at this pace. We see ourselves rapidly becoming the number one developer in both the state of Texas and the United States, and we want to continue along that path and continue to grow. We see there's a lot of opportunity for growth. It's been a small, somewhat disjointed market, and as one of the largest in the nation, we see there's lots of room for growth, both in new units and in acquisition of the older stock that's available.
So, a footprint of 21 states. The need for affordable housing is everywhere. How do you decide to go next? Precisely. And Jeff, are there states you would avoid and why?
So we are looking to follow the growth patterns in the United States. The growing need is in the areas that we have the greatest in-migration. For example, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as you and I discussed earlier, is expected to grow by over 1.3 million in the next 10 years. That translates into extreme demand for affordable housing. We want to go where the demand is highest. Are there underserved markets elsewhere? There certainly are. There's certainly underserved markets all across the United States. But we look to do what we are doing at scale. There are many markets that are well served by the local developers and are better off being served by those developers, by a national developer such as Dominion. Our footprint and our growth patterns are that we're, I would say, right-sizing our portfolio. And by that, I mean we're looking at getting rid of some of the smaller 20, 30, 40, 50-unit developments we did in the early stages of our development as an organization. And now we're replacing those with developments that are in the 150 to 250, if not 300 or 400 unit range. So it's really about scale. in achieving our goals. We you know, while every market has a need, Dominium is not necessarily out to serve every market.
Earlier in your long and illustrious career, you were involved in socially conscious investors who were willing to accept lower returns on affordable than they might have scored on the market rate. Can affordable even compete with market rate based on returns? And what is the secret, Jeff?
So we can compete with market rate and market returns. We actually see some of the largest investors in the nation entering the affordable market. One, we have very stable tenant base. There will always be a need for affordable housing and a growing need. Most of the markets that we are in are severely underserved. And for that, it gives very stable risk-adjusted returns that are comparable to those you would see on the market rate side. Market rate cycles are quite up and down, whereas we are a very steady state, I wouldn't say riskless, but low risk investment, just from a pure theoretical standpoint. So while the socially conscious investors are here, there are certainly those that see the need for market rate returns or market returns in the affordable business and achieving that.
That's a new blush on the industry for sure. Biden plans to fully fund Section 8 so that all eligible renters get vouchers. At the same time, he will mandate that all rental properties accept vouchers. Such changes would increase both your potential customers and your competitors. What does that do to the affordable housing landscape?
So Dominium has always accepted vouchers from tenants, so this would not really change our business model. It certainly makes possible for more residents to be able to choose Dominium properties. The more vouchers that are out there, the more that they're able to choose our properties. So the need for rental assistance is tragically high, and we see this as a real positive for our business. We worry more about people being able to find great quality housing, and that's what we want to provide. So the increase in vouchers can only help our business. When we talked about just a minute ago about the returns on our business, we receive those as incredibly stable, and this would only further stabilize the need and returns for our business. So we see this as a huge positive. And we're not worried about, having residents not choose us. We tend to think of ourselves as the premier properties in the affordable industry, and we want to maintain that. So we would be the first choice for voucher holders, for those who choose to take a voucher, and they would choose our property. So we like to think of ourselves in that light. And for that reason, we see this as a very positive step on the nation's political front.
In 2020, tenant-based rental assistance spending was $23.8 billion. The generally accepted calculation is that this nets one voucher per four eligible renters. Thus, a fully funded program would cost the taxpayers an additional $71 billion per year. Is this the best way to help low-income renters? And if I could wave a wand and place you, Jeff Spicer, in charge of the program, how would you allocate the money?
So the housing crisis continues to be driven by inventory shortages. And inventory shortages are something that won't be solved by increasing the money available for vouchers. We think a very positive step was taken by Congress just a few weeks ago to give us a flat 4% tax credit rate for bond developments. Those developments will help increase the supply, and we really see this as a supply side issue. Housing, like most markets, when demand outstrips supply, prices rise. And some of the best solutions to our nation's housing issue is to increase housing production. I don't want to make it that simple, but it really is that simple. So until we see additional traditional production of affordable housing, we're really not going to change the market. And so, you know, some of the things that we see as very positive steps are increasing the 9% availability in each of the states, using our bonds more efficiently. So there's bond volume that's given to each state every year. And we really like to see some changes, additional changes, in addition to the flat 4% rate for tax-exempt bonds. We'd like to see things like the 50% test. We'd like to see that lowered to a 25% test. That would allow us to use bonds more efficiently. We'd only need half the amount of bonds on a per project basis, and that would almost double the supply that we were able to allow. Many states are bond constrained in that their bonds are all used up. And that means the only way to increase the amount of supply that we can create in each state is by increasing either the amount of bonds available or the more effective use of those bonds. The 25% test, as opposed to a 50% test, would help, would be one method to help that. Some other things that could help in that regard are recycling of bonds. Bonds that are used for very short term in order to get the 4% credit and put these units in place could then be recycled into either single family or additional multifamily or other areas where there are more long-term needs in the bond market. Right now, most of our needs in the bond market are short-term. Other things that could be done are standard state-level efficiency tests. Some states allow you to use, you know, if you need 50 million as your 50% test, they allow you to use 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 million for that type of project. And we just think that's incredibly inefficient. And so there are a number of things in place, procedures that can be taken, regulations that can be changed to really make the bond program more efficient. So in addition to new additional 9% credits, more bonds, and more efficient use of bonds, I think, is the real answer here, not just additional vouchers. So that would be my changes that we would like to, if we could wave a magic wand to make the program more efficient.
So dialing in existing process, that sounds great.
Yeah, we're really not going to change. We're not saying let's change the wheel. Let's just make the wheel we have more efficient.
Right. I think the solutions are there. I agree. Biden has called for higher standards in energy efficiency, resiliency, and housing accessibility. He also calls for every renter facing eviction to have access to a federally funded lawyer. How will such changes impact Dominion's business?
Sure. Eviction is a vexing issue for everyone in the housing industry. Alternative ideas to the current process, I think, are welcome. We don't want to evict anyone, but at the same time, you know, our renters need protection, but the landlords and tenants need to come to common ground. Like I said, we don't want to evict anyone. That's the last option for us, especially in the time of COVID. We want to keep renters in place, and we've tried very hard to do so. We work very extensively with social service providers at all of our properties and have worked with them to find the resources for people to stay in their homes. That's really what we want. I think that's the goal that everyone should have. As far as, you know, federally funding for lawyers to make sure that people aren't evicted, I don't know that that's the best use of resources. That, to me, sounds like a jobs program for lawyers. I hate to say it. I have some very good friends who are lawyers, but I don't necessarily think a federal work program for lawyers is the direction we should probably be going. You know, again, by the time we evict, it's the last thing we want to do. And we want to help those residents stay in place any way we can. It actually costs us money to evict someone. It's not what anyone wants to have. So I think finding a middle ground is probably a better political path for everyone to give us answers that I think will really be best suited for both the tenant and the landlords. like I said, we want people in place. We don't want people leaving.
I think you'd get resounding agreement on that.
I would think so.
This may be one of the most important moments in history for affordable housing. And you, Jeff Spicer, are center to the action. We rely on your working knowledge to build the housing our country needs while keeping a steady hand on the wheel. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. It's fascinating to hear from an affordable trailblazer as yourself, especially on such a mighty precipice of change. I'm Linda Hoffman. See you on our next NAHB Power Hitters.